Tractate 90. John 15. 23. The Lord says, "As you have just been hearing, he that hath me, hath my Father also." And yet he had said a little before, "These things will they do unto you, because they know not him that sent me." A question therefore arises that cannot be overlooked, how they can hate one whom they know not. For if it is not God as he really is, but something else, I know not what, that they suspect or believe him to be, and hate this, then assuredly it is not God himself that they hate, but the thing they conceive in their own erroneous suspicion or baseless credulity. And if they think of him as he really is, how can they be said to know him not? It may be the case, indeed, with regard to men, that we frequently love those whom we have never seen, and in this way it can, on the other hand, be none the less impossible that we should hate those whom we have never seen. The report, for instance, whether good or bad, about some preacher, leads us not improperly to love or to hate the unknown. But if the report is truthful, how can one, of whom we have got such true accounts, be spoken of as unknown? Is it because we have not seen his face? And yet, though he himself does not see it, he can be known to no one better than to himself. The knowledge of any one, therefore, is not conveyed to us in his bodily countenance, but only lies open to our apprehension when his life and character are revealed. Otherwise no one would be able to know himself, because unable to see his own face. But surely he knows himself more certainly than he is known to others, inasmuch as by inward inspection he can the more certainly see what he is conscious of, what he desires, what he is living for, and it is when these are likewise laid open to us, that he becomes truly known to ourselves. And as these, accordingly, are commonly brought to us regarding the absent, or even the dead, either by hearsay or correspondence, it thus comes about that people whom we have never seen by face, and yet of whom we are not entirely ignorant, we frequently either hate or love. But in such cases our credulity is frequently at fault, for sometimes even history, and still more ordinary report, turns out to be false. Yet, it ought to be our concern, in order not to be misled by an injurious opinion, seeing we cannot search into the consciences of men, to have a true and certain sentiment about things themselves. I mean, that in regard to this or that man, if we know not whether he is immodest or modest, we should at all events hate immodesty and love modesty, and if in regard to someone or other we know not whether he is unjust or just, we should at any rate love justice and abhor injustice, not such things as we erroneously fancy to ourselves, but such as we believingly perceive according to God's truth, the one to be desired, the other to be shunned, so that, when in regard to things themselves we do desire what ought to be desired, and utterly avoid what ought to be avoided, we may find pardon for the mistaken feelings which we at times, yes, at all times, entertain regarding the actual state of others which is hidden from our eyes. For this, I think, has to do with human temptation, without which we cannot pass through this life, so that the Apostle said, "No temptation should befall you but such as is common to man." For what is so common to man as inability to inspect the heart of man, and therefore, instead of scrutinizing its inmost recesses, to suspect for the most part something very different from what is going on therein. And although in these dark regions of human realities, that is, of other people's inward thoughts, we cannot clear up our suspicions, because we are only men, yet we ought to restrain our judgments, that is, all definite and fixed opinions, and not judge anything before the time, until the Lord come, and bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. When, therefore, we are falling into no error in regard to the thing itself, so that there is an accordance with right in our reprobation of vice and approbation of virtue, surely, If a mistake is committed in connection with individuals, a temptation so characteristic of man is within the scope of forgiveness. But amid all these darknesses of human hearts, it happens as a thing much to be wondered at and mourned over, that one, whom we account unjust, and who nevertheless is just, and in whom, without knowing it, we love justice, we sometimes avoid, and turn away from, and hinder from approaching us, and refuse to have life and living in common with him, and, if necessity compel the infliction of discipline, whether to save others from harm or bring the person himself back to rectitude, we even pursue him with a salutary harshness, and so afflict a good man as if he were wicked, and one whom unknowingly we love. This takes place if one, for example's sake, who is modest is believed by us to be the opposite. For, beyond doubt, if I love a modest person, he is himself the very object that I love, and therefore I love the man himself, and know it not. And if I hate an immodest person, it is on that account, not him that I hate, for he is not the thing that I hate, and yet to that object of my love, with whom my heart makes continual abode in the love of modesty, I am ignorantly doing an injury, erring as I do, not in the distinction I make between virtue and vice, but in the thick darkness of the human heart. Accordingly, as it may so happen that a good man may unknowingly hate a good man, or rather loves him without knowing it, for the man himself he loves in loving that which is good, for what the other is the very thing that he loves, and without knowing it, hates not the man himself, but that which he supposes him to be, so may it also be the case that an unjust man hates a just man, and, while he opines that he loves one who is unjust like himself, unknowingly loves the just man, and yet, so long as he believes him to be unjust, he loves not the man himself, but that which he imagines him to be. And as it is with another man, so is it also with God. For, to conclude, had the Jews been asked if they loved God, what other answer would they have given but that they did love him, and that not with any intentional falsehood, but because erroneously fancying that they did so? For how could they love the Father of the truth, who were filled with hatred to the truth itself? For they do not wish their own conduct to be condemned, and it is the truth's task to condemn such conduct, and thus they hated the truth as much as they hated their own punishment, which the truth awards to such. But they know not that to be the truth which lays its condemnation on such as they, therefore they hate that which they know not, and hating it, they certainly cannot but also hate him of whom it is born. And in this way, because they know not the truth, by whose judgment they are condemned, as that which is born of God the Father, of a surety also they both know not, and hate the Father himself. Miserable men! Who, because wishing to be wicked, deny that to be the truth whereby the wicked are condemned. For they refuse to own that to be what it is, when they ought themselves to refuse to be what they are, in order that, while it remains the same, they may be changed, lest by its judgment they fall into condemnation.